Do you have my Walkman? Chris said, leaning into Daniel's room. You're like surgically attached to that thing, Daniel said. I wouldn't take it. No, not the CD one, the tape player one. Why would I want your tape player? Daniel said. And Chris figured he had a point. He went back to his room and dug around some more, and eventually found his Walkman under his bed, in a shoebox with his shin guards from the 3 weeks he'd spent on the soccer team in sixth grade. He put his headphones on and settled in to listen to Adam's love song tape while pretending to read The Red Badge of Courage. He didn't recognize or like all the songs, and he definitely didn't agree with all of Adam's decisions about what was depressing or non-depressing, or even what was a love song. He was pretty sure Aerosmith's Love in an Elevator didn't count just because it had love in the title. But it was fun. He wondered if Adam had made it thinking about Mark. Mark and Adam weren't together anymore, but Chris wasn't sure what the story was. Or maybe he'd made it with Mark last year. The two of them lying on the floor in Adam's room. He imagined Adam's room probably had a lot of posters and jackets everywhere, talking and kissing while each song copied from CD to tape. He realized he was thinking of Adam with his black hair. Now Adam, and not last year Adam. And he felt creepy about the whole thing all of a sudden. So he shut off the tape and did his math homework instead. He'd meant to talk to Adam about the tape at the next GSA meeting. He was hoping Adam had a track listing for it, for one thing, and he wanted to give Adam a high five for the inclusion of Only in Dreams on the depressing side of the tape, which was one of Chris's favorite Weezer songs. His plans got derailed, though, when, after a discussion about maybe having a bake sale, Megan said, "But what are we even raising funds for? Are we hosting this dance or not?" "I don't know," Adam said. "Should we?" "Don't pretend you don't want to," Megan said. "You totally deserve to go to at least one dance at this school that's actually good."
"Everyone deserves something better than the snowball," Alicia chimed in.
"They'll just use giant paper snowflakes for decorations again."
"Okay," Adam said with a sigh, like the thought of giant paper snowflakes was just too much to bear.
"But we all have to agree on it. I don't want to just decide for everyone."
"We can vote right now," Nina said. "Who wants us to host the winter formal?"
Everyone raised their hands, even Rob, the timpani kid, who'd only come to two meetings, and two girls who'd never been to a meeting before. Maybe everyone hated giant paper snowflakes.
"Now tell them about the theme," Megan said, poking Adam's shoulder.
"I was thinking The Wizard of Oz," Adam said. He looked tentative. "I mean, I know the GSA doing that theme is kind of a cliche. Rainbows, Friends of Dorothy, blah, blah, blah. But there's so much cool scenery we could use for ideas. I was thinking that we could have paintings of the whole narrative of the movie going around the walls, you know? The black and white part on the farm, then the tornado, then Munchkin Land, with all the really bright colors."
"That would be awesome," Katie said.
Adam grinned at her. "The student council usually does the winter formal," he said. "I asked about it when I got permission to form the GSA, so we'd have to see if they'd mind surrendering it."
"I'm on student council," Katie's friend Jess said. "You should come to the next meeting. We just spent way too much money on homecoming stuff, so it's a good time to ask. Everyone is all freaked out about the budget."
"Seriously?" Adam said, almost bouncing in his chair.
"Seriously," Jess said. "The meeting is next Monday."
"Okay," Adam said. "Perfect. Do I need to make a chart about what a good idea this is, or just promise them that I'm not going to hire cage dancers?"
"Why would you deny us cage dancers?" Alicia said.
"I wouldn't if I could help it," Adam said, with complete sincerity.
"Guess what?" Katie said, right after Chris said hello. Chris cradled the phone between his ear and his shoulder so he could keep holding his guitar.
"What?"
"We get to do the Wizard of Oz dance," she said. "Jess just called me. I think we're technically co-hosting it with the student council, so we get to use some of their money, and we have to let them help, but we get to do it."
"Awesome," Chris said,
and play to G7, which was sort of a sweet celebratory chord. Are you playing guitar? Sort of. Chris shifted the guitar so it was flat on his lap and held onto the phone so he could straighten his neck. I bet Adam is really happy. Yeah, I'm sure, Katie said. He could hear her smiling through the phone. He smiled back, even though she couldn't see him. This is so cool. I wanted to be on the dance committee last year, but it's going to be so much better this year anyway. I was thinking we should have munchkins, you know, from Dunkin' Donuts, as snacks, because of the name. Chris shifted the guitar around again and played an E minor, just to express his slight dismay at the realization that this dance had probably just staged a quiet, very effective takeover of his life. Really shitty of him not to show up ever, Nina was saying when Chris walked into the next meeting. Adam raised his eyebrows at Chris as a greeting. He barely even talked to me when I asked him about it. He's kind of a douchebag. He's not a douchebag just because he wants to avoid me, Adam said. He shrugged. Breakups are awkward. Yeah, but this is a club. Alliance, Alicia said from the corner, where she was drawing on her backpack. Chris was happy he wasn't the only one semi-eavesdropping. Whatever, it's not like he'd even have to talk to you if he didn't want to. He's not avoiding you. He's trying to avoid people remembering that he's gay. Can you blame him? He was really upset about all that shit last year. So were you, Nina insisted, but you did something about it. Chris missed the rest of the conversation because Katie and Marie and Jess arrived and wanted his opinion about whether cinnamon rolls were a good idea for a bake sale, because people might not want them if they were cold, and Marie thought maybe they could heat them up in the microwave in the teacher's lounge, but that would only solve the problem temporarily. The rest of the meeting revolved mostly around bake sale or dance stuff, and Chris sort of zoned out after he and Katie agreed to make 2 pounds of brownies. He had something they were playing an orchestra stuck in his head, probably because he subconsciously felt guilty about not practicing it more. So he spent the meeting half hearing about the cinnamon roll dilemma and how Claire and Zoe, the two girls who had mysteriously showed up last week and were now apparently an integral part of dance planning, might know somewhere they could rent a cotton candy machine. Who wants to use the paper cutter? Adam said all of a sudden. And he was doing that projecting thing with his voice, so Chris looked up. I have to go copy bake sale flyers, but I made them 2 to a page. We're not really supposed to make that many copies. I'll go, Chris said, and the two of them left everyone else to argue about whether cotton candy had anything to do with The Wizard of Oz, and whether that even mattered, because cotton candy was awesome. I'm a little afraid to leave them by themselves, Adam said once they were safely down the hall. They're going to be fighting about whether an entire carnival midway and Ferris wheel will fit in the gym by the time we get back. Chris laughed. Do you think we could get bumper cars? Oh, probably. I hope we don't get overrun with people who just want to plan a dance, Adam said. I think we might start missing the point. I just want everyone to actually care about making the school a less terrifying place. Were you and Nina talking about Mark at the beginning of the meeting? Chris hadn't exactly meant to say that, but there it was. Yeah, Adam said. Nina gets a little, I don't know, something. I don't know if she's right or not, about him hoping people would forget he's gay. We don't really talk. So it didn't work out between you guys? You and Mark, not you and Nina. Not really. We weren't right for each other. Sorry, Chris said. I didn't mean to pry or anything. It's okay. You're allowed to ask questions. Okay, Chris said as they walked into the coffee room. He had a lot of questions, really, most of which he wasn't going to ask. Like what exactly not right for each other meant. Or if it was different kissing a guy than a girl. Or how Adam decided whether or not he was going to wear eyeliner on any given day. Because sometimes he had it on and sometimes he didn't. Chris found it kind of fascinating. Do you have a track listing for that tape I borrowed from you? The mix from my car? Adam said, looking at Chris over his shoulder as he went through the shelves of colored paper. I don't know. It's from a while ago. I might have one somewhere. I recognize some of the songs. I love that Only in Dreams is on there. It's a good song, Adam said. What do you think? Does this say bake sale to you? He held up some turquoise paper. That's really bright. Good. Adam loaded it into the copier tray and hit the start button. But yeah, I love Only in Dreams. It has that great bass line, and the lyrics are so simple, but they're really perfect. But it's about a girl, Chris blurted out. There was a pause, during which he wondered if there were any convenient rolls of tape around so he could tape his mouth shut. It's about wanting someone you're sure you'll never have, Adam said. I'm not so picky about the pronouns. I'm sorry, I don't know why I even said that, Chris mumbled, half hoping the noise of the copier would drown him out. Give me some credit, Adam said, handing Chris some warm, freshly copied flyers. I can tell the difference between curious and trying to be an asshole. You're curious. He shrugged. Chris concentrated really hard on cutting flyers in half. Did you ever do that cover? Adam asked after a minute. Of Love Fool? I tried it, Chris said, and he still felt stupid, but at least they were talking about something else. I found some guitar tabs online. You were half right. The verses work okay, but when you slow down the chorus, it just sounds like a joke. I couldn't figure out how to fix it. Adam handed Chris another stack of flyers, with a look on his face that Chris somehow knew meant he was trying to hear all this in his head. What if you combined the two? He said. Like, the verses are depressing, and then the chorus is still up-tempo. It would still need other instruments, though, Chris said, tapping the flyers on the table so they were all in alignment, and handing them back over to Adam. Half the problem is the single acoustic guitar thing. Adam considered that. I think you're right. You know, it's weird that we haven't run into each other before. With the whole, he made a vague hand gesture, music thing. I was going to be in the orchestra for the musical last year, Chris said, but half the rehearsals were at the same time as baseball games. Yeah, okay, Adam said, like that wasn't what he meant at all. There's probably a karaoke track for that song, he mused. You could use that for the chorus. If you made a tape with just the chorus part on it. This sounds really complicated, Chris said. Adam shrugged again. Probably, but that's what makes it fun. Chris and Katie baked their promised pans of brownies at Katie's house, which was kind of weird. Chris felt like he was in middle school home ec when making cornbread in cheap aluminum pans was secondary to getting in water-flicking fights and flirting with the girls who were assigned to his little classroom kitchen. But he felt like Katie was maybe playing house a little bit. She had him wearing his dad's BBQing apron, which had chili peppers all over it, and fell a few inches past Chris's knees. And he didn't know exactly what she expected from him. So he just read the directions on the box of brownie mix out loud and stirred what she told him to stir. And occasionally her mum would pop into the kitchen to make sure they weren't burning down the house or making out on the counter. They curled up on the couch to watch Saved by the Bell on Nickelodeon while the brownies baked. And that was better, because all he had to do was sit there and make fun of Zach's giant cell phone while Katie rested her head on his shoulder. Her hair was soft against his face, and the faintly floral scent of her shampoo was sweetly familiar. Katie had her mom drive her to school the next morning, so she didn't have to carry the brownies on the bus. So Chris really didn't need to stop by the bake sale table in the lobby first thing in the morning, but he did anyway. Katie was already there, talking to Megan, while Adam rearranged stuff on the table. Your brownies got here before you did, Adam said, shifting the tray of much-debated cinnamon rolls around to make more space for a plate of cupcakes. They look really good. They're just from a mix, Chris said. Katie leaned over the table, smacking him on the arm. You're not supposed to tell people that, she stage whispered. Sorry, Chris said. We made them from scratch, from a secret recipe. It's been in my family for generations, Katie added. The lobby was between the science wing and the music wing, so Chris wandered by the bake sale to say hi between his bio class and orchestra. Adam was sitting there with Claire, or maybe Zoe. Chris wasn't sure. talking to someone who was trying to decide what to buy. "The brownies are good," he was saying. "They're totally from a secret recipe." He gave Chris a big, stagey wink and a half wave, which for some reason made Chris grin every time he thought of it for the rest of the day. It was hard to smile and play the viola at the same time, but he managed. Chris and Katie ran the bake sale during their lunch period. Their lunches balanced in the space between baked goods. For the first 10 minutes of the period, they were super busy. And then things calmed down and they ate their sandwiches and talked until a guy in a Metallica t-shirt walked by and stopped in front of the table. "Can we help you?" Katie said, after he just sort of poked around at everything for a minute. "Are these cookies gonna make me gay?" the guy said, holding up a bag of chocolate chip cookies and smirking. "Yes," Chris said, as cheerily as possible. "If you buy them, we can go to prom together." "Okay," the guy said slowly and put the cookies down. Once he was down the hall, Katie grabbed Chris in a sideways hug and kissed him, so quickly that Chris barely had time to put his hand on her shoulder and kiss back. "You shouldn't have done that," she said, but she was smiling. "We could have used his money to buy crepe paper." "I'm just glad I didn't have to go to prom with him," Chris said. "I bet he wouldn't even get us a limo." "I bet," Katie said, and scooted her chair a little closer. Chris put a dollar in the cash box and grabbed them a cupcake to share. Chris had a study hall the almost last period of the school day, so he'd sign up for another bake sale shift. Becky, one of the drama club girls, had also volunteered, and they got to talking about Chris's history teacher, who was Becky's history teacher last year, so she told Chris about what projects would probably get assigned, and they commiserated about the stupidity of weekly current events reports. Chris leaned his elbow on the last remaining bag of chocolate chip cookies on purpose, and they were just untying the curling ribbon holding the bag closed when Adam walked around the corner, holding a large foam treble clef with hall pass written on it. "Music theory?" Becky said, gesturing at the treble clef. Adam nodded, surveying what was left on the bake sale table. "We're not doing anything in there today. Lisa's debating with Mr. Wallace about solos in the Christmas Carol medley." He rolled his eyes. "I don't think they'll notice if I ever come back or not." "Sit with us," Chris said. "These cookies just got mysteriously broken." Becky nodded. "It's tragic. We have to eat them ourselves." "Well, obviously," Adam said, sitting down next to Chris and grabbing a cookie. "Do these have macadamia nuts in them?" "I don't know," Becky said. "Alicia made them." "We hardly have anything left," Chris said through a mouthful of cookie. The cinnamon rolls were all gone by third period. "We should probably do another one of these, or maybe two," Adam said. "Has anyone counted the money yet?" "I'll count it," Becky said, sliding the cash box over to her end of the table. "So, you're in music theory?" Chris asked, poking at the foam treble clef, which Adam had dropped on the table. "Should I take that? I was thinking about it." "Honestly," Adam said, "I don't know if you'd learn anything you didn't already know, since you're already in orchestra and everything. A lot of people take it just for their arts requirement, so it goes pretty slow if you already know anything about music. And then if you stick around, I'm technically in music theory 3 right now, it turns into just choir people sitting around arguing. So, unless you like arguments about who sings what in Ave Maria?" "Not so much, no," Chris said, shaking some of the chocolate chip crumbs from the bottom of the bag into his palm and offering the rest to Adam. "Hi," someone said, and Chris looked up. A girl he sort of recognized was standing in front of their table, holding a camera. "I'm taking pictures for the yearbook. Can I get one of you guys?" "Sure," Chris said, and leaned over so he could put his arm around Adam's shoulders. Adam tensed up a little and gave Chris a sidelong glance. Chris wondered what that was about for a second. Adam was always hugging Megan, or braiding teeny braids into Marie's hair, or, and this image was imprinted in Chris's mind with a weird vividness, offering Nina his arm in the hallway, the formal old-fashionedness of the gesture ruined by the fact that he was laughing when he did it, his eyes all crinkled up. So it wasn't that he minded being touched, it was just... And then it all clicked into place in Chris's mind that that was all girls. That Adam figured it was okay for him to be touchy-friendly with girls. But maybe he thought that guys... He thought that Chris would get weirded out because he was gay. And there was just no way in hell that Chris was going to let him go on thinking that. Because it was so messed up and not true. He shifted a little closer, so their knees bumped together under the table. Adam looked over at him again, this time with the corner of his mouth quirking up into a smile, and put his arm around Chris. His hand felt warm and pleasantly heavy curled around Chris's shoulder, and Chris's smile at the camera was completely genuine. "Do you want to be in the picture too?" yearbook girl asked Becky. "Not really," Becky said, trying to count. "Okay," said yearbook girl, and turned the camera vertically and fiddled with the lens. "Perfect," she said under her breath, and clicked the shutter.